Lots of talk about social media and free speech lately, and so in podcast 829, it's time for me to share my personal story of my odyssey with Facebook and give you some thought starters about free speech in podcast 829, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, guess what? The temperatures are in the 70s, and that means that Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for Home or Business can come over and check your AC, because when it comes to keeping all these systems running right these days, you need somebody who knows what they're doing. You want reliable service, and that, of course, means Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771, in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. So Ryan wants me to tell you that they're working on helping people bring their houses up to date with low-volume flush toilets. You know, water is getting very expensive these days. And if you've got a house with 60-year-old toilets in it, you might want to look at, and you probably think, because I do, well, that toilet is just doing great because it's 60 years old and it still works. Well, it's probably not very efficient. Also, new faucets, motion sensors that turn the water on and off, things of that nature, and technology like heating systems that also heat water. So if you are going to replace your furnace, then you might want to think about getting a heating system that also heats the water. It's very high efficiency, and you can get rebates for stuff like that. So again, if you have questions about that, call Ryan. They go back four generations in Frogtown in St. Paul. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. Now, almost everybody in the United States thinks they know what the First Amendment of the United States Constitution says. It says, right, it's free speech, right? That's what it says. Well, not really. It is certainly one of the components of the First Amendment, but I always think it's good to actually look these things up and read them, because when you're going to have a conversation about the First Amendment, you should know what the First Amendment actually says. So it says, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech of the press, or of the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. So this was a week in which social media, Facebook in particular, banned Alex Jones, Louis Farrakhan, Paul Nalin, Milos, Paul Joseph Watson, and Laura Loomer, who supposedly had been on suspension for things that they've said and done on various occasions. These bans extend to Instagram, as well as introducing something called link banning. My understanding of link banning is it prevents anyone who is not Louis Farrakhan or Alex Jones from posting a link to their site or posts or media, because the link is banned. But on your page, you can speak positively of these individuals, as long as you comply with Facebook's Byzantine policies, so to speak. Now, there is an argument that many of the individuals who are banned are from the so-called right wing, which generates a whole different argument. For Jones and others, all this started with the alt-right protests at Charlottesville, Virginia, a couple of years ago, and with school shootings, and of course, with the propagation of so-called conspiracy theories that people consider to be so dangerous. But really, it started with the so-called Russian interference in the presidential election of 2016, which most people still don't understand the particulars of, and I'm not even saying I do, but I will do my best to explain it. Russia supposedly used public platforms like Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and others to disseminate misinformation about the Democrat candidate for president, Hillary Clinton. It was the Russians, moreover, who hacked into the Democrat National Committee server, or actually got WikiLeaks to do it, or somehow got the information to WikiLeaks and stole emails, which formed the basis for much of the misinformation, and then spread these through these various platforms. And public commentators like Alex Jones and others picked up the themes and spread them as well, whether it's Pizzagate or any number of other things, which were really picked up almost on a comedic level by various other commentators. Now, I think much of this is still conjecture, personally, and this is not a podcast about whether the president conspired to steal the election with the help of the Russians. That's not what we're talking about here. It's clear that the Russians were up to something, at least from what I've read, creating groups on Facebook and even creating events which people showed up for, and the fake people who created the real events did not. So we know that. I suppose you could get deeper into it and say, well, how do you know it was the Russians? And the answer is, that is a good question. Now, I have often said that the Russians aren't the only country to try to influence democratic elections. England, Saudi Arabia, and Israel are three actors that come up in this conversation, as does the United States, which brazenly interfered in the Israeli election during the Obama administration, in Egypt, clearly using Facebook actually during the Arab Spring. And, of course, United States influence in the Middle East and Latin America, and recently Eastern Europe, especially in the former Warsaw Pact countries, after the end of the Cold War, is legendary and remains in the news these days. Certainly during the Latin American days, the CIA was famous for all sorts of destabilizing efforts, and I think that probably no one was happier to see the arrival of social media except for the intelligence agencies in the world, whether it's the FSB or KGB or the CIA. A friend said something to me tonight, and I think this is a great comment. He said, think about what the Russians accomplished. Now, again, this assumes that the Russians did this. Not only might they have genuinely influenced the outcome of the U.S. election, which, by the way, as I said, is debatable, but that's just my opinion, but they also negatively affected the actual value of one of the largest U.S. tech companies in its own country and internationally. And that is something, isn't it? And as the man said, how about that? Now, we still see fallout from Facebook and Twitter, too, which just banned actor James Woods. And I think that's just plain silly, but that's either neither here nor there. And it sure seems like these companies are overly concerned about so-called right-wing politics. And if they are, they ought to actually take a look at the pages of some of my friends in the entertainment industry when it comes to hate peddling from the left. It's pretty extensive, and they don't seem to get wrapped. Actually, I should say it this way. They're not promoting it, and they're not putting it on quote-unquote business pages. They are people saying pretty hateful things on their own personal Facebook pages, which seems to be, so far, something you can get away with to a degree on the left. But that's a debatable point as well. Aside from the fact that if you don't want to see that, whether it's on the right or the left, the so-called right or political left, well, all you have to do is unfollow or even block and you'll never see it again. But enacting rules which discriminate against people for their views, in my particular opinion, is wrong. And it has certainly been something I have experienced on social media and in my life as a talk show host. And I will keep this nonpartisan. There is a trend in this country today which says, you can't say things other people won't like because you'll trigger them. Now, you might not say something to somebody that would trigger them at a party, but you should be able to say something to a whole bunch of people in the public square. It's a question of manners, let's say, when you're talking to people individually. But if you do happen to say something by accident that triggers people, then you must be shunned and your livelihood taken away. You must be pushed to the backwater and the wilderness and forced to repent for your wrongs. Now, from my experience, this comes mainly from the left, which can't seem to tolerate any opinion that doesn't support whatever agenda they're promoting. And I have also experienced, right and left, when you are trying to explain something to people, as in an opinion that might be somewhat complex, they are constantly trying to interrupt you and putting their hands up and trying to point to you because they don't want you. You're talking too much. And you say, well, this is a complex issue. It's going to take longer than one word to explain it. No, and I've had to actually say to people, stop talking and let me explain this to you. And then you can respond and I will shut up. And it's really hard to have a conversation because nobody wants to hear what they don't want to hear. And I have certainly experienced hate from the right when I say things they don't like. Oddly enough, I'm often charged with being a leftist or at least using leftist tactics, which I think is pure comedy considering my politics. So I'm going to tell you about my personal experience with Facebook in the second half of this podcast and give you some final thoughts about some possible lines of challenge to what these social media companies are doing. We'll talk about it in the second half of this podcast. Well, I'm very excited to be working with payment processor by the name of Relia Fund at reliafund.com, R-E-L-I-A-F-U-N-D.com, because they can integrate with QuickBooks and they can also integrate with your back office stuff or with your website if you are doing e-commerce. So listen up, this message is for you. Relia Fund is a payment processor that has been providing integrated solutions to get payments cleared for more than two decades. They were at the forefront of the payment processing revolution in this country. They have a ton of experience. And if you call Relia Fund now, you will talk to a human being, 866-243-5040. That's 866-243-5040. Or check them out at reliafund.com. If you go to the banner at the top of the page that says Relia Fund at thebobdavispodcast.com, click on it. That takes you to the brand new contact page and you can explain your situation and they will get back to you. In fact, that is how I found Relia Fund. reliafund.com, R-E-L-I-A-F-U-N. ReliaFund.com. One of the best events of the entire summer is the air show at EAA, and Alpha Systems is going to be going there. If you're a pilot and you're heading over to EAA, you know about that pattern, and you know you want to be safe in takeoffs and landings. So when you get there and you finally land, you want to go over and visit Alpha Systems because they make the revolutionary angle of attack indicator, which helps pilots understand how much lift is being produced by their wing, which saves lives because you've got a visual display of that on the plane's dashboard. More information by checking out Alpha Systems online by going to the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com and clicking on the Alpha Systems banners. Remember, Alpha Systems, AOA, saves lives. Well, you guys know that my podcast can be pretty direct, and it's because I am pretty direct most of the time. In fact, I find myself having to apologize for being very direct when it's really not even necessary sometimes, and I just do it, and it's the way I am, and I can't help it. I try, but it's not always easy. So when I have something to say, especially when I am passionate about the subject, I say it. And this is one of the reasons I have to think very carefully. It's one of the reasons I love the podcasting format, because it enables me to think about what I want to say and how I want to say it before I say it. But that doesn't mean that I still don't step in it every now and then. Because my mouth has got me in trouble more than once in the last 20 years and sometimes more than less. And actually, that enables me really to talk about this in a different way than what you might hear from people grinding a partisan political axe on the internet. People sometimes say to me, I hope you feel some shame for saying this or that, or call me a coward for what I said. Now, I don't respond to them. I don't respond to the death threats, by the way, which I often get. But on the contrary, I feel that any person who has the courage to stand up and speak their truth these days, I don't care what it is very brave considering the backlash. And if you go against the grain with your people, whoever your people are, it's even bigger. If you go against the grain, against the majority or this concept of triggering, it is you have to be really strong because there will be a considerable backlash. Like you'll wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning and you'll have 500 emails and 700 messages on your Facebook page, which actually would be cause for celebration these days for me. Now, I don't feel any more shame than Nathan Hale felt about speaking the truth, to be quite honest. What's sad is the fact that people don't seem to have the courage to hear anyone's opinion but their own. Now, when it comes to Facebook, they have a new policy which says if you're going to promote content that has to do with politics or issues of national importance, you have to do the following. Now, what do I mean when I say promote? I mean advertising by boosting on Facebook. They have a policy that you have to adhere to, a new policy, which, by the way, I'm going to explain a little bit in a second. But here's what you have to go through. First of all, you have to authenticate ownership of your Facebook site with Facebook. This is a three-step process which involves your personal information up to and including an image to their specifications And that means your driver's license or passport, a picture that is to their specifications. And it's considerably difficult due to the clunkiness of Facebook, but that's another story. Once you've done that, they will actually send you a code in the mail that you have 30 days to go back and re-enter as the third step that then locks your identity. And the other thing that you will probably have to do is put in your phone number and things of that nature. After that, if you seek to promote a post, that's the, basically, for me, it's posting a podcast and then boosting the link to the actual podcast. And then the picture is the podcast art. And then when you see my page at thebobdavispodcast.com, you'll see the blog and the picture and everything else. And then you'll, be able to scroll down and listen to the podcast. Or if you're subscribed, you'll get the podcast anyway, and I'll just remind you that you should see it. So it doesn't even play the podcast on Facebook. It takes you to the BobDavisPodcast.com page for that particular podcast. Okay. After you've done all this stuff, putting the code in and so forth, if you seek to promote a post that the Facebook AI, so we're talking about algorithms basically, considers, quote, political or discussing, quote, issues of national importance, it will flag the post. And then what you get is a notification that your boost has been disapproved. And I think it's Facebook's clunkiness and weirdness, but it feels like you've done something wrong. You've committed some horrible sin because you put something up that's quote unquote controversial in some way, shape, or form. Now, just recently, I got another one of these, and it was the picture it didn't like, and I'm going to tell you more about that in a second. I had to go back through everything and then sent them a message that said that I went through the whole process, and then I was cleared, and I don't understand what's going on, and then they sent me back a note that you had to read three paragraphs down, find a link, and then you find this link that allows you to go back to your, and somewhere, I'm sure they told me this, but you know how it is with Facebook. You go back to your Facebook business page. So in my case, it's a fan page that became a business page. You click on settings, and then you actually choose an option, which then what happens is when you boost a post, it gives you a banner, which you're supposed to check, which says, this is a post about politics or issues of national importance. And then what you do is enter a disclaimer. So you have a standard disclaimer, which goes on a, whatever you want to call it, a snipe at the bottom of your post, which in my case just says sponsored by the Bob Davis Podcasts. So it doesn't bother me at all. Now, I use Facebook to promote my podcasts. This whole policy on Facebook's part is in fact a beta test, which I didn't know until I went through and read what I was agreeing to. So this is a beta test. This isn't even the final iteration of this quote-unquote policy. But I use Facebook because it's the biggest platform for the people that listen to me or listened to me. And so for the time being, I am basically doing my own beta test using Facebook to promote the Bob Davis Podcasts. And I'm not going to reveal the results of that, but I've been using it pretty consistently, not spending a lot, but just to see what it does. I doubt I will ever use Twitter in the same way because I don't like Twitter. I also might consider using LinkedIn. I will also tell you that on every one of these platforms, the language I use and the way I promote is differently. And then finally, I've learned how to defeat Facebook's algorithms and so-called artificial intelligence. And the secret to it is understanding that no human being at Facebook actually reviews your content. What they do is they have algorithms that review the title, the SEO title, the title of the post, in this case, my podcast, and the picture. So I entitle this podcast is going to be entitled, for example, Free Speech - Social Media. So it will see that and it will say, uh-oh, one of my recent posts was a picture of a political event, and it actually saw that picture and somehow said, uh-oh. And that's what caused me to have to go through that final step. But you can circumvent it by putting up a picture of a tree and entitling the podcast, happy days, fun times, and rainbows, you know, which I did also as my own little beta test and saying, gee, can I defeat them? I guess I can, because I don't think a human being is looking at this, much less clicking through to the post. What irritated me is I am not advertising any political candidates. In fact, I am very, I would, I suppose, take advertising from political content candidates. I actually have, but I also issued a big disclaimer saying I don't support that individual. I'm just running their ads. You know, radio stations take political ads without actually endorsing. So I am not doing these podcasts as a political advertisement, but they are in issues of national importance. So in terms of the policy, I guess, you know, I got to follow the rules of Facebook, and I'm not thrilled about it, but I also understand what they're dealing with in terms of this outrage, because someone like Alex Jones, which really, Alex Jones is harmless. You know, if you believe the stuff on InfoWars, you're a fool. It's just that simple. And people are going to be able to go to the InfoWars.com site and read that stuff to their heart's content. So, you know, it's just silly to ban them from Facebook. But I'll get to that in a second before we get to the end of the podcast. So, you know, as I said, I can defeat it, but you know, I'm not. I'm following the policy. The thing here is do you think that the Russians have figured this out? Google actually has human beings reviewing your website just to make sure that you're an experience that they want to be able to consider of high relevance. But I am not sure that they have human beings reviewing the content on YouTube. And I watch a lot of YouTube, and I've seen things on YouTube I am convinced no human being reviewed. But I also think this is why you see so many posts with misspelled titles, misleading pics, and so forth, because they are defeating these algorithms. And there's no way that human beings can actually review every single post. I suppose they could, but they certainly have people at Facebook reviewing things that need to be flagged or taken down because they're just either pornography or some horrible thing. But anyway, you know, taking people down because they don't follow policy is silly, because this is why we use Facebook and Instagram and Twitter to promote our activities. By the way, once you go through the Facebook process, you have to go through the same process with Instagram, which I won't do because I'm not going to promote political stuff on Instagram anyway, because I think Instagram is the wrong venue for that. And as I said, I use different text to promote my stuff on LinkedIn than I do on Facebook. And then one more thing. So if you're promoting a post of some kind on Facebook on your business page, you can pretty much say anything you want on the your actual friends page. So you're not promoting that. So they don't get involved with that unless you put some really horrible thing up there, and then you'll get flagged for that. So if you are a woman and you show your breasts, they don't like that. If you put some horrible, you know, thing up there, you fill in the blank, then you might get flagged on your page. But if you want to say, I don't like Trump, or I don't like Nancy Pelosi, or put up a silly meme on your actual friends page, that's probably not going to be a problem, depending on what you're putting up there. So in summary, I'll say a couple of things. First of all, Facebook is extremely clunky. I think Twitter's clunky as well. I don't like the experience of Twitter, and I never have. I don't understand it. I just don't. I've never been able to understand the point of Twitter. I know it's successful, and I know other people understand it, and I know other people have successfully used Twitter to promote themselves. And that's fine. I just don't get it. Both of them are really, really clunky, but the clunkiness is not necessarily wrong. Facebook and Twitter, especially Twitter, reminds me of the BBS, the bulletin board systems, or whatever they were called back in the day when we used to use PCs all the time and trolls, and they were cesspools, and why would anyone bother to waste their time on them? Reddit is a good example. I don't understand Reddit either, and I don't get these long arguments, and I know some people do and they love them. I just don't. And I will tell you the story real quickly of a local radio bulletin board system, which anybody in radio listening to this knows about. It is an awful, the people say awful things. And I know the guy that runs it, and I will just say this. So I had a friend who never got over the things that were said about her on that system. because everyone is anonymous. And so people said horrible things about her, and she committed suicide. And in the last days of her life, she spent with me. This is something that came up often, and she in fits and starts, tried to get that stuff taken down and was unsuccessful. And this is a person who was suffering a particular problem and didn't deserve what was said about her. And I will just say this. I understand from that perspective the whole Facebook thing in terms of the hateful things people say. Politics is a little bit different story. This was not political. This was just attacks on an individual who felt them deeply and went to her grave partially because of it. And the guy that runs that site is going to have to answer for that someday. And again, it was because of the anonymity. I've certainly said some hateful things about politics, but I say it as myself, and you can find me. It's not something that I'm not saying it as, you know, Fibber McGee. I'm saying it as Bob Davis when I say, I mean, that's who I am. That's my name. It's not a made up name. So in summary, I'll say a couple of things. First of all, these platforms can ban people, but they can't ban the backlash. And part of that is we will always find new platforms. They may not be easy to find, and they may not be easy to actualize, but there are places to go, and there will be options to Facebook at some point if they continue down this road. And that goes for these other companies as well. And I realize in their defense, there's an awful lot of pressure on them, social pressure and governmental pressure. I do think that they lean to attacking the right more often. That's my own personal opinion than is fair. And I think this is the problem. When you are asking corporations to decide what is hate speech, what is free speech, what is political speech, that's really not the purveyance of a corporation to do, and that's probably not good. And we do have systems that determine what is free speech and what is dangerous speech and things of that nature. The truth of the matter is that First Amendment challenges are generally successful because free speech is a centerpiece of democratic countries. Now, I am sure that a First Amendment challenge to any of the giants like Facebook, their defense would be, we're a private company and we can decide who to serve and who we don't want to serve, or we're a private club and we can keep people out. And unfortunately for conservatives, there's just a recent Supreme Court decision which says that you remember the cake bakers, well, they can serve anybody that they want, according to a recent Supreme Court decision, which is going to be problematic for right-wing people attacking Facebook on 14th Amendment challenges. But I think a 14th Amendment challenge, an equal protection challenge, would probably have more legs in this fight. So the 14th Amendment, real quickly, in the words of Cornell Law School, addresses many aspects of citizenship and the rights of citizens. The most commonly used and frequently litigated phrase in the amendment is equal protection of the laws, which figures prominently in a wide variety of landmark cases, including Brown versus the Board of Education, which was racial discrimination, Roe v. Wade, which was reproductive rights, Bush v. Gore, which was election recounts, Reed versus Reed, which was gender discrimination, and the University of California versus Bakke, racial quotas in education. Section 1 of the 14th Amendment says, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of the citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, and property, or property rather, without the due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the law. Some say the 14th Amendment in itself is a sub-constitution or a constitution in itself or a preamble in itself. I think it would be absolutely comedic if the right wing of this country, which has spent many years hating the 14th Amendment, actually ended up using the 14th Amendment to enforce free speech on social media platforms. Finally, in addition, there are many cases and decisions from the courts, including the Supreme Court, which cite laws passed passed by Congress preventing the discrimination of businesses and clubs, which would deprive people of their rights to equal protection as late as 1987, by the way, especially liberty. And so liberty is also a speech issue. So this whole banning issue, for whatever reason, isn't over by a long shot, even when it is a beta test, as the current policies regarding advertising political content is. I'm a business seeking to advertise my business on Facebook because it has been one of the largest platforms for ideas. I don't have to advertise on Facebook or even use Facebook. And actually, if I didn't advertise on Facebook or use Facebook, I wouldn't waste my time with it. As I have often said, there are other options which may or may not have content questions that I can use. Finally, I'll say it again. I've said this a bunch of times. I grew up in Chicago watching the Nazis march through Jewish neighborhoods in Chicago. These weren't alt-right guys. These were Nazis, literally. And it was the survivors of concentration camps in that town in Chicago, in the Chicago area, that insisted they be able to have that march every year, the Nazis, until no one paid any attention to them anymore. Why? Because freedom of speech was one of the first liberties the Nazis took away from the Germans, by the way, after they took the guns away. If we can't have a discourse in this country on things like guns and shooting and race and political issues, divisive political issues, if we can't have a discourse about these things because it triggers too many people or it upsets people and they have to bay at the moon because they hear an opinion they disagree with or they can't listen to someone present an opinion, it doesn't matter how many insults are hurled. We are no longer a democracy. It's that simple. And that is something both sides ought to think about. Once again, Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul wants you to know you can update that house with low-volume flush toilets and technology like heating systems that also heat water very quickly, very high efficiency, and you can get rebates for it. For more information, call Ryan Plumbing in St. Paul, 651-224-4771, in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488, online at ryanplumbing.com. Okay, thanks for listening to the BobDavisPodcast.com at TuneIn, which works with Alexa, iTunes, the granddaddy, of course, Google Play Music, BlogTalkRadio.com, and a ton more places, Spreaker, and of course, Spotify and Stitcher for Android devices. I do appreciate the likes and the shares on social media, especially now that I'm approved for quote-unquote controversial advertising and more. And thanks for your donations for Mobile Podcast Command at the Bob Davis Podcast. Podcast.com. Now, I want to close with a quote because I think it's something to think about, and I think it is something that applies directly to our time. And it was by the philosopher Johann Wolfgang Goethe, and it's very simple. Few people have the imagination for reality. Think about it, and thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 829.